Okay, folks, Andrew Boltbros here. Well, we got some interesting news today. But before I go into that, I want to talk about Brendan Rice and talk about how that whole discussion works together with Brendan Rice today, guys. A lot to discuss. It's going to be a good video, guys. Let's get in.
Boltbros!
Okay, folks, as always, like and subscribe if you do enjoy the content. I'm Andrew Boltbros. Well, again, there's a lot going on right now with the Chargers and what we're doing in, well, potentially free agency. Looks like Joe Ortiz is still cooking, boys and girls, and Bolt fam, right? Again, just so you guys know, when we draft players and undrafted free agents, we need about $15 million to pay those players. So, you know, we have around $30 million left in the cap at this moment. Actually, let me double check real quick. I was actually looking at it a few minutes ago. Once we sign players here, we have a little over $30 million currently. So we have around $15 million we could potentially spend. Well, here's the news. Just today was just announced that Tyler Boyd is in LA currently right now. He's meeting with the Chargers and then going to the Titans potentially. So this wide receiver conversation today is very interesting. And I, you know, again, with Brendan Rice, you know, again, he's a rookie, of course, but look, Tyler Boyd, prolific wide receiver, really good. What do you guys think about this? Should we go after him? Again, people keep talking about Odell Beckham. I am not in favor of Odell Beckham at all, but Tyler Boyd's a nice veteran we could sign. One other thing about Joe Ortiz, guys, that not many people talk about. Well, he did talk about it quite a bit, but it's something I really picked up on early on in really becoming the GM, is he likes comp picks. You sign him for 1 year, just 1 year. Let the rest of the rookies sit back, wait, learn from Tyler Boyd. He goes and signs with somebody else. Guess what? We get a comp pick for him leaving, right? It's the same thing with Gus Edwards, potentially J.K. Dobbins, if they have blowout years, they don't want to re-sign with the Chargers. So, and he's literally said this over and over again. He is fine with the 1 year contract. So they leave, they get a comp pick. Currently, we're set to get three comp picks. I'm actually going to do a whole nother video on that probably next week going in through. This is really the next wave of free agency, because after the draft, the comp picks don't matter anymore, right? So it's great. You can sign anybody who's available. He would have been a comp pick problem pre-draft, but post-draft doesn't matter. So anyways, something to check out, something to see. Kind of excited to see how that plays out. I don't know. I'm a little 50-50 with Tyler Boyd, but at the end of the day, adding a veteran presence, we know it's a long season, guys, and you need as many bodies as possible, but it could potentially affect Brendan Rice. So I want to hear your thoughts. What are your thoughts down below about this potential signing of Tyler Boyd? But again, let's talk about the man of the hour, Brendan Rice. There's a lot to discuss about him, guys. We all know that he's 6'2", 208 pounds. Obviously, he's a senior. Hey, he's originally from Chandler, Arizona. James, did you know that? I did not know that until I just recently started seeing this, but again, Chandler, Arizona. And look, Brendan Rice has been good. The interesting thing about him, his statistics or his stats from the combine were not that fantastic. Broad jump was subpar, shuttle subpar, bench press was pretty subpar, right? And he was kind of middle of the road as far as measurables are concerned. And that's part of the problem. Guys, he does play X receiver also. So just remember that. He's the guy on the outside playing press man. It's really what I'm assuming Quinton will play a little bit more of. But Josh Palmer also could be another guy that could do that as well too. But really interesting to see how that plays out. But my point is, this is, partially why he struggled, I think, and dropped in the draft was some of his statistics at the combine were not spectacular, right? I think he did well, not amazing. His overall rating was around 77% out of 100. So just to give you an example, like his intermediate routes, deep threat, 84 for any intermediate routes, deep threat was 82%, right? 82 percentile. Marvin Harrison, number one, 100%, 100%. Short receiving, 97%, right? So, and again, short receiving for Brendan Rice was around 79%. So again, first pick, seventh round pick, this is how it goes, right? Undrafted free agents, probably less. Again, ESPN gave him a 3-star grade, you know, so these are things that affect people's ability to be drafted, but a lot of people did not think he would drop to the seventh round. I mean, bottom line, everyone thinks he is going to be a gigantic pickup, for the Chargers. Let me give you a good example here. Robert Griffin came out and said this too, but again, RG3 came out and said, don't know what took so long for Brendan Rice to be drafted, but Joe Ortiz and the Chargers just got the Isaiah Pacheco of the wide receiver room. And again, a lot of people have discussed that he could be the next Puka Nacua, very similar type of stats, all the above. Plays with uncontrolled violence, and Justin Herbert will love how he fights and win before and after the catch. We'll talk more about that afterwards, right? So, but again, Jerry Rice Jr. comes out, again, have a conversation. It'll be a great story in years to come. And he has the right attitude. Bottom line, doesn't matter where you draft, you just got to go out and succeed, right? And I'll say this, you know, even talking about Vidal, the Vidal, our running back. He actually, you know, again, he still has to prove it that he's going to find a roster spot. I mean, currently there's really four good running backs on this team. Isaiah Spiller, we don't know how it's going to play out, but I think he's a little bit more of a Jim Harbaugh type of guy, more north and south, and he's just rocked up. That's a great running back that I think will fit well with Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins. And then I think Isaiah Spiller still has an opportunity to, you know, be that fourth running back. But again, Jerry Rice, look, I think bottom line that Brendan Rice has an opportunity to really make a splash on this team. He just has to prove he can do it. Now he's got to be aggressive. He's got to come, you know, and show the physicality, right? I'm going to talk more about probably a video on Quentin Johnston if I think he's going to have a bounce back year, guys. I think there's a lot to be said about that as well. So I'll do a later video on that as well. But again, the man of the hour is Brendan Rice. Let's talk about him a little bit more concretely, right? He's actually had some great stats, right? He did very well. I think his last year, let me look at some of the stats he had. Again, he's only 22 years old, so he's very young, 208 pounds. Rice was 2023 second team All-Pac 12 honoree, 12 receiving touchdowns, right? So see, he was prolific, right? Rice tallied 84 career catches for 1,400 yards, 16 scores while at USC, and he began his college career at Colorado, transferred over to play with Caleb Williams. So he's got a lot of juice, right? A lot of talent. But again, why did he slip? Right, a lot. So let's just talk about his strengths. He did make Bruce Feldman's freaks list at number 53, which is great, right? You know, again, the whole conversation, you know, and this is where the draft is really not an exact science. It's beauty's in the eye of the beholder, right? A lot of people can look at somebody like, you know, Brendan Rice and say, well, you know, it's Jerry Rice's kid, you know, he should be great. And everyone just evaluates people differently. He had numbers, right? But for some reason, people maybe didn't value him. I mean, he was supposed to go, I believe, in the fifth round at the latest. Yeah, I think his projection. His projection was the fourth round, right? And most mock drafts, I mean, like around 120 to 120 or 140 maximum. I mean, he was way late, seventh round. So, you know, again, why did he slip, right? So some of his strengths, again, he's very good, right? He hit 23 miles an hour on a GPS at one point, right? Did very well. But again, some of his shuttle work wasn't great. His footwork wasn't amazing. He does run with a lot of violence, right? Now, again, as RG3 said, violence, that could be good, that could be bad, but it's not a lot of finesse. You look at someone like a Brendan Rice compared to like a Ladd McConkey. Ladd McConkey is very good because his footwork is so good, people don't really know where he's going. He's sometimes Brendan Rice, from what I saw, it looks like he's tipping what he's doing, right? So he's kind of giving it away a little too much. And that's where Ladd McConkey is good. That's also why really Keenan Allen was so good, is he was so good at not letting the opponent corner in front of him know exactly what he's going to do. He's going to set him up for different plays. And hey, I'm going to fake inside, go outside. And he looks the same, but makes the corner be in conflict on how he's going to try and cover, him particularly. And really Brendan Rice is still needs to work on his footwork as well. So does Quentin Johnston. So, you know, there's a lot of good things about him, but again, he's also an ex-receiver. So he is supposed to be on the outside. Very curious to see if he does step into that role as well. So we'll talk a little bit more about what I think is going to happen with the wide receiver room as well, but he does utilize his hands, length, you know, he does a good job with 50-50 balls. You know, he's tall. Again, he does have an understanding of the boundary awareness. His footwork is fairly good on the sidelines, right? Natural hands catcher, which is good. He's not trying to catch into his body. We all know that's kind of can be a bit of a problem. He's not just a vertical threat, but he's also a yak monster. He does get some yak yards after the catch. Again, versatility. He does work on special teams quite a bit. Be very interesting to see how that plays out. Anyways, he has a big, big game DNA, right? So what are some of his weaknesses, right? And there's not that many, but I think a lot of these things definitely hurt him. He struggles to consistently play through contact, right? So he could be a little bit like, you get hit and he just kind of falls over. He doesn't try to fight for those extra yards. He's at 215. He's listed at 215, but a lot of people think he's more like maybe 190. He does seem to have a little bit of a slender build, but again, he could be a little bit better at, you know, being a little more aggressive at the X position. So I think people have a hard time understanding, should we have him in X or a slot? A lot of people say the Z wide receiver. You know, again, I think there's going to be a little bit of a rotation on wide receivers. I actually think we're going to dress out quite a few wide receivers as well. A lot of these guys are also going to potentially play special teams. He does have the tendency, again, some people say that he has a tendency to overcomplicate releases, often dancing at the line rather than immediately establishing his route, which kind of makes sense, right? You're trying to set up your opponent, your cornerback, right, who's in front of you, but you're trying to do a little too much wiggles at the front, and you tend to make things not as fluid, and then it just, you sort of struggle to really execute your plan, right? And so I think, you know, that needs to be worked on. Again, that's what the wide receiver coach is there for. Production metrics are volatile, needs to showcase consistent weekly output rather than sporadic big game bursts. That's a great point, guys, right? Again, so the one thing about being a professional athlete is you have to repeat what you're doing. If you're not doing that, it's going to be a problem. So he would show flashes of brilliance, but then he would struggle in certain games. And so these are some of the things that you kind of sit back and say to yourself, okay, this is a bit of an issue. This is really why, he slipped. And the reality is this, folks, he's a great wide receiver. I am so happy that we got him in the seventh round. In fact, that we got him in the seventh round, I was ecstatic. And the reality is this, it doesn't matter where you drafted, right? If you watch the video, Jim Harbaugh talking to Brendan Rice specifically, and by the way, tragic story. He was actually during the draft flying to, I think it was Texas. One of his best friends passed away. He was going to be speaking at his funeral during the draft. He was literally flying there during the draft. And so just a horrible situation, not doing well, not getting drafted. And he's got a lot to prove. He has a lot to prove. And at the end of the day, he's going to prove it. He's going to show what he can do. The thing about him, and just as Jim Harbaugh says, it doesn't matter where you drafted, nobody can measure the size of your heart. Just come out there and prove it. And again, that's what he has to do in camp. And guys, just to be very clear, I'm just going to wrap this up on this final thought. Everyone on this team has to prove it. You realize we're not part of the, Brandon Staley era anymore. No Tom Telesco. There's no safe players. This team wants physical football. This team wants these wide receivers and these running backs, and these offensive linemen and defensive players to play exactly like they want. So this is an opportunity for people in camp, Brandon Rice, anybody else included, they have to show up and do what they're supposed to do to make and earn a spot on this team. And guys, 53 man roster, we're gonna have 90 players in this team here very shortly going into camp, which every team does. They have 90 players and they start whittling them down. And guys, it's gonna be very interesting to see what actually happens. Truly, I think Brendan Rice has a spot on the roster. Usually when you get drafted, you're at least gonna have 1 year with the Chargers. So, but again, guys, he has to prove it. He needs to come in there with a chip on his shoulder. He needs to work on his footwork. He needs to understand all these different routes, and look, I think he can do it. He has all the talent. He's a young man, and he has all the talent in the world. I think he can make it happen, but he's got to prove it. What do you think about this pick? What do you think about Tyler Boyd, guys? I mean, this is going to be interesting. We might be doing a video on it tomorrow. I mean, who knows? We might even get a update later on today. I might have to do a short video here in a few minutes before my softball game, hitting my nukes, which, that's what I do. Anyways, as always, Andrew, Bolt Bros, see you guys in the next one.
Hey, are you getting ready for a concert or going to a game at SoFi Stadium? This venue is a place to be for unforgettable experiences. Here's how you can make it even better by getting rewarded with a SoFi banking app. SoFi is giving you a chance to score big with 25% cash back on all eligible purchases inside SoFi Stadium. That's right. Think delicious nachos, refreshing drinks to celebrate that touchdown, or to raise your glass to that epic guitar solo. And that awesome shirt you've had your eye on? How about you get an extra 25% off? SoFi offers a full suite of products to help you manage your money and reach your financial goals. Heck, even SoFi checking accounts have interest rates to help your money grow. Using your SoFi account to pay for everything at SoFi Stadium and knowing you're getting 25% cash back on all those delicious treats and awesome merch feels pretty dang good. Open a SoFi account today with a deposit of $50 and using the link in the description below to get a special $25 bonus. That's even more money to spend on all your merch, or just consider your first meal on the house. SoFi, get your money right and get rewarded at the stadium.